Hello and welcome. You're listening to the McKinsey on Insurance podcast. In this series, we are speaking with a number of experts who are going to discuss trends, disruptions, and strategies that are really reshaping the industry as we know it today. I'm Shannon Varney. I'm a partner in our Boston office, and I'm joined today by a couple of colleagues. Susanna Ebert is a partner in our Frankfurt office. James Polyblank is a partner based in London. Now, the three of us, together with a number of other colleagues, have recently published the second chapter of our McKinsey 2023 Global Insurance Report. And this one focuses on P&C commercial lines. And today we're going to be going through certain aspects of this report and discussing what do we see as the future of this market and what do we see as the opportunities that insurance leaders need to be thinking about. And James, I'll start with you. In the report, we talk about a number of external pressures that are facing the market today, some of which are familiar and some are new to the market. Can you please start there and you talk a little bit about what are some of these challenges that commercial carriers are facing today and what are some of the changes that you see that are in motion?
First, I'd say it's actually been a tremendous couple of years for commercial lines carriers, right? 21 and the early results from 22 suggest that most have made combined ratios of less than 100. And that's following some pretty terrible years. Now, this is a cyclical industry. We do see the headwinds on the horizon. So we see rates already starting to soften, although that's a nuanced story by line of business. But we certainly see rate growth slowing. We see inflation driving up loss costs. And we see a continuation of the long-term trend of brokers moving up the value chain and stealing pieces of the pie from carriers. At the same time, we see a lot of opportunities. Probably now the nature of risk is changing faster than it ever has before. If you think about the rise of cyber risk, if you think about NatCat and climate change, and actually if you think about all of the transition technologies that are coming as we try and combat climate change, there's a lot of exciting roles for insurance to play in these spaces. The challenge, though, is there's not enough capital and there's not enough talent.
And do you see this as the time to actively address what we see right now as the growing protection gap? Which levers do you think the insurance leaders should be pulling right now to strengthen their resilience in these volatile times?
Well, Shannon, look, I think the easy answer would be to say grow, right? And that's probably what's happened at the start of every soft market. My advice to carriers is to really think about their source of distinctiveness as they grow. And there's a few considerations in that. The first is, you know, clarity on where you compete so that you can really focus investment in building distinctive products and services that will attract your clients because of more than just the price. Second is building technical excellence, which actually with a deep knowledge of a particular product or a particular sector, it's easier to think about, for example, what is the effect of inflation on this and to factor that into technical pricing models. Third is think about the distribution strategy. So once you're clear on your source of distinctiveness, you can be clear in which products you want to play open market and do the underwriting yourself, or maybe even go direct. And in which markets actually do you just want to follow others or use MGAs because you want exposure, but you don't have the capabilities? And finally, I think it helps carriers focus their decarbonization efforts, because if you're clear on where you focus, you can think about how decarbonization efforts affect that particular product or sector.
Susanna, what about from your perspective?
Let's not forget one critical lever to strengthen resilience. If commercial lines carriers want to navigate the fast-changing nature of risks, they have to fundamentally transform their capabilities and functions like pricing, underwriting, claims, risk engineering. We see many carriers invest heavily in data and analytics, develop underwriting workbenches to enable more data-driven underwriting. To bring the value from these investments to life and succeed in ensuring new emerging risks, carriers have to expand their talent pools beyond traditional insurance to target profiles with deep tech expertise or science background. I'm convinced that this will require a new focus on talent management. And transforming capabilities goes hand in hand with transforming the organizational culture. Many underwriters and claims handlers at the moment rather rely on their experience than on data-driven approaches and advanced technologies. This means managing the shift from art to science is becoming even more important.
Right. Now, James, maybe coming back to you, as you said before, we really see the significant pressure that carriers are facing today, right? So whether that's from loss trends, rising inflation, the challenges of just selecting and pricing new types of risk. Now, while we've seen this hard market over the past few years and growing premiums associated with the rising rates, a lot of this growth really has been driven by the rate hardening. And even after adjusting for the rate growth, we can see that the global premiums are lagging behind the real global GDP growth during the same period. So this leads to the obvious question. We're hearing this a lot from our clients. Are commercial lines losing their relevance?
Yes, they are, Shannon. So to quantify that, I mean, as you say, we looked at what was happening to commercial lines premiums compared to GDP. Now, when we looked at this back in 2018, in publications a number of years ago, we found that it was shrinking. Now, maybe not to our surprise, but when we did it this time, we actually found it was growing. But of course, we're in a very hard market. And so what we wanted to do is to strip out the effective rate to find out how is underlying risk exposure that insurers were taking varying with GDP. And we found it was dropping. And to quantify that, in North America, that went from 1.8% of GDP to 1.6. That's a decline of over 10%. In Europe, 0.9 to 0.7. So a decline of 25%. So quite alarming drops in what we'd call the relevance of commercial lines in the economy.
Thanks, James. Susanna, maybe over to you. What are some of the things that you see that are really important for carriers to do right now to reassert their relevance in the industry?
Product and policy design can play a big role in expanding the relevance of the commercial lines industry. For instance, to provide coverage for the net zero transition, insurance carriers need to build the muscle to underwrite prototype-like risks, such as for decarbonization technologies. This is not trivial, as historical data is lacking. Products could also be tailored more to certain segments. For instance, SMEs within a specific industry often face similar types of risks and prefer a rather hands-off approach to their insurance coverage. Simplified wordings and products tailored to bakeries, carpentries, etc. could help here. Underwriting the future requires more than just a narrow product and policy focus. Services to prevent and mitigate risks play an increasing role in expanding relevance of commercial lines insurers. For instance, in cyber, the most engaged carriers help clients reduce cyber threats in the first place by providing threat intelligence, consulting, employee training, and many carriers partner with specialized cybersecurity firms.
Just to add, if I may, Susanna, you mentioned cyber. One fact that alarmed me as we did this research is that economic losses from cyber in 2020 were $950 billion globally. That's according to McAfee. The cyber insurance market was $7 billion in the same year, which is like a 99% protection gap. So yes, some of it will be what you just said, Susanna, about risk mitigation. But I think in order to close that gap, just think of the capital that is going to be needed by the industry, right? That closing that entire gap would be doubling the size of the global commercial lines industry. Now, Shannon, I know you've actually been doing a lot of our work with clients, leading the thinking on alternative capital and what we can do with it. So maybe you have a perspective on what the industry can do.
So maybe a few thoughts just based on the conversations that we're having right now around third-party capital. And I'd say the first is, you know, really just asking yourself, are we thinking about capital and our capacity in a holistic way? You know, one that really fully contemplates the capital markets. And as we point out in the paper, you know, alternative reinsurance capital as a percentage of the total has nearly tripled over the last several years, but we still find that it's relatively untapped in its potential. And then I think the second is thinking about alternative capital as a means for closing the protection gap, the one that exists beyond the Nat Cat market. And to be clear, we do hear a weariness from existing investors to participate in the market and taking on additional cat exposed risk. But there really is a significant potential in new markets. And as an example, the coverage gap for cyber is upwards of $80 billion. And we strongly believe that the capital markets will play an important role in addressing that gap. And it's encouraging to see the launch of things like the first CyberCat bond and other innovation that we think will really be key in diversifying beyond just the property risk. And I think lastly is we're really encouraged about the growth of these new digital-first platforms that are enabling more efficient marketplaces for bringing together the cedent side with the institutional investors. And we think these players will really play an important role in ensuring just the greater participation of institutional investors in the insurance market.
I think, Shannon, there's also an opportunity to make these products simpler, right? Most of the investors are kind of fairly smart institutional investors. And actually, to attract those different investors that you talked about, in particular the mass, I think making these simpler so it's clearer what risks you're actually exposing yourself to, maybe parameterizing it, could be a way of broadening the investor base.
At the moment, investors are still cautious given limited historical data, given untested models, given high volatility associated. Recent developments that enable carriers to monitor their exposure are a sign that the industry is increasing transparency and thereby improving the value proposition for investors and laying the foundation to raise capital and increase capacity for risks also beyond NatCat.
Well, thank you, James and Susanna. We've covered a lot of important themes in the discussion today, so perhaps a quick recap. We start with framing some of the forces at work in the market today. And James, you talked about the persistence of inflation on loss costs, continuing rate hardening in some lines, and the return of capacity and some early signs of market softening in some others. And you were also clearly indicating that this creates an exciting opportunity for the market today, and whether that's through the role the industry can play in accelerating decarbonization or to helping address some of these new and emerging risks, clearly a big opportunity for the market. And Susanna, you laid out a number of really important capabilities that carriers will need to have to realize this opportunity. And you talked about the importance of technical expertise, data and analytics solutions, and the important role that attracting new sources of talent will have. And we also just touched on how the capital markets and alternative sources of capital will play an important role as capacity providers and what will be needed to attract these new investors into the market. Thank you for listening to McKinsey on Insurance. And you can find the new global insurance report, Expanding Commercial P&C Market Relevance, on McKinsey.com.